Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 18. And now, what hast thou to do in the way of Egypt? To drink the waters of Shihor? Or what hast thou to do in the way of Assyria to drink the waters of the river? Thine own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy backsliding shall reprove thee. Know therefore, right here, and see that it is a, talk back to me, evil thing. Do you see that in your Bible? And bitter that thou hast, talk back, forsaken Yahweh your Elohim, and that my fear is what? Y'all don't fear me at all. Matter of fact, in most today modern churches, they don't even know him. And that my fear is not in thee, saith Yahuwah Elohim of armies. Verse 20. For of old time I have broken thy yoke and burst thy bands, and thou said, I will not transgress. It's right there in the Bible. Now that means they were slaves, but he broke the yoke off of them and loosed their bands, set them free, and then they said back to him, we won't transgress. We just read that in Exodus when we studied the book of Exodus. They said, okay, we're good. But watch this. When upon every high hill, you said you wasn't going to transgress, but on every high hill, that's right in the Bible, and under every, talk back, thou hast wandered playing the harlot. He said, every high hill, every green tree, y'all wandered off playing, talk back, the what? Playing the harlot. He said, I don't get it. What in the world do you have to do with Egypt and Assyria? What in the world? So my subject, what I'm going to talk about, Egypt and Assyria can't help you. Look at your neighbor, say, neighbor, Egypt and Assyria can't help you. You may be seated. I'm going to say it again. Egypt. Woo. Javon. And Assyria. They can't help you. Hebrew Israelites worldwide. The 12 tribes that have been scattered as a result of our disobedience, Zion. And as a result of our forsaking the Most High Yah, we have been scattered all over the world. And I want you to know, if you're listening to this here in this room, or whether it's you're listening to it on internet or watching it on some type of computer, it doesn't matter. I want you to know that the Most High Yah's message for you today is Egypt and Assyria can't help you. One more time. Say Egypt and Assyria can't help you. There is a growing rise. There's a growing movement in America, especially among the descendants of the Hebrew Israelites, where you find the folk that they call Negro, Black, African American, colored. You find this group of people, for some strange reason, leaning, toward a movement called Egyptology. Yeah, that's becoming more and more prevalent among our people, where they are going back to Egypt in order to unearth this fallen culture of idol gods, and claiming that as their history. Oh, my brothers and my sisters, you've got Negroes walking the streets with unks. You got them walking the street with winged birds on them. They are talking about pyramids and throwing up pyramid signs and talking about the all-seeing eye of Ra and on and so forth. They talk about the power of the pyramids, and they talk about the gods of the sun and the moon and the stars and the gods of the Nile and the gods of the land and the god of the dead and the gods of the frogs and the gods of the fish. But may I say unto you, my brothers and my sisters, Egypt can't help you. Oh no, it can't help you. It can't help you. You see, first of all, number one, you do know that it was the Egyptians that enslaved you. Let's just get that straight out in the open. It was African Egypt that enslaved the true Hebrew bloodline descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It was Egypt. After we helped them, the Most High Yah used one of our brothers to save the whole nation. His name was Joseph. It was not too long after that, they chose a Pharaoh who didn't know Joseph. And as a result, it was African Egypt. Don't get it twisted. African Egypt. That the advisors came to the Pharaoh with a message. And the message was, you better do something about these Hebrews, because they are stronger than us. They are bigger than us. They're faster than us. They multiply better than us. And if we don't do something, they might mess around and launch a coup and get themselves up out of Egypt. So their solution to the problem of the Hebrew being in the land was, let's make him a slave and put him under heavy taskmasters, and basically let's kill all of the baby boys, are y'all listening to me, by either throwing them in the river or killing them at birth. It was Egypt. Don't ever get it twisted. That's not where we're from. That is a Hamitic tribe. All you got to do is read your manuscript. The word Egypt represents the house of bondage. But the actual land of Egypt, watch this, is called Misraim. Misraim has to do with the land of black. For they had the Black Sea and the Black River. They had black rivers because of the black stones. They had black gods that they worshiped. But more than that, they were black people. It was about black face. Misraim. They were Hamites. And they had adopted as their national form of worship the idolatrous practices of Nimrod, Semiramis, and Tammuz. They just changed the names to Osiris and Horus and Seb. You heard of Isis, haven't you? Isis ain't nobody but Semiramis with a name change. And when they begin to follow after these idol gods, those satanic, demonic influences told the Pharaoh to kill the baby boys of the Hebrew Israelites. And at that point, you all know what happened, don't you? The Most High Yah heard the cry of his children down in Egypt. I'm going through here now. Watch this. And he called Moshe. And Moshe was born from the Levite tribe, and his mama, fearing Yah more than the king, she had her baby, and she didn't toss her baby in no river, and she didn't let nobody kill her child. She took her child and hid him for 3 months, and after she couldn't hide him no more because he was growing, she made a basket from the reeds of the Nile and pitched it with pitch set her son in the basket, set him on the river, not in the river. See, that's the difference. Every other woman, the babies were going in the river. She said, no, my baby ain't going in the river. He going to be in the river, but not of the river. He is on the river. Floated him by, and Pharaoh's daughter found him and said, oh, I'm naming him Moses because I just drew him out of the water. Matter of fact, he started crying. She fell in love because the Hebrews were good looking babies. She said, oh, I want this baby to be my baby. She named him Moshe. And do you know he grew up? Listen to me. He grew up in the palace. He knew all of their gods. He knew all of their worship. He knew all those prayers. He knew all of their He knew everything about Egyptology. And the Bible says when he was of age. Matter of fact, don't take my word for it. Let's look at the manuscript. Can we do that? Because I want to show you something. Egypt can't help you. Ain't that my sermon? Hebrews chapter 11. Let's go there in the manuscript. I'm going to keep you all alone today. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 23, by faith Moshe, when he was born, hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. I told you he was good looking. And they weren't afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, by faith, what did he do? Refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. It's in the Bible. Choosing rather, I'm preaching, y'all should be preaching with me. Choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of Yahweh than to enjoy the pleasures of sin. When he looked at Pharaoh's house, when he looked at being called Pharaoh's son, daughter's son, he put it in a category of one thing, sin. For a season. 26, esteeming the reproach of Yahushua, the Ahamasiah, greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he, talk back to somebody, forsook Egypt. This is your Bible. I'm not putting this in your Bible. He forsook Egypt. He didn't go to Egypt for help. He forsook Egypt. It's in the Bible. And he's in the Hall of Fame. Not fearing the wrath of the king. Who is Pharaoh to him? Nobody. Oh, now we're going to turn back to him like he's somebody. Now we want to go dig up these old tombs and we want to go dig up all these little artifacts and we're trying to make him somebody. When our law, listen, Moshe said, I'm out of here and I don't want nothing to do with Egypt and the king ain't nobody. Is it in your Bible? Watch this. He didn't fear the wrath of the king. For he endured as seeing him who is invisible. He said, wait a minute, they got all these idol gods and everybody else is wanting to hang out in Egypt because they got gods. But I'm leaving even though the Elohim I'm serving, I can't even see. So by faith, he did what? He kept the Passover and got up out of there. I'm through reading that part. I'm out of here. And there should be no turning back to Egypt for any of the descendants of the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. When we got out of there, we were not ever supposed to look back. But I told you on last week that we've got a weird syndrome. I don't understand it, but it's true. We got this weird thing called Stockholm Syndrome, where for some strange reason, we as a people always want to turn back to the people who treated us the worst during times of trouble. Does that make any sense to you, Zion? There's a passage in the Holy Bible that says, when you have a dispute with your brother, you're not even supposed to take him or her to the unjust court. That's in the manuscript. Yahuwah wanted us so separate from anything having to do with Egypt and Assyria, he wanted us to handle even our disputes amongst one another. Am I in the room yet? In this leaving of Egypt, you had these folk complaining. Why did you bring us out here? I said, hold on, Hebrew. 2 months ago, you was weeping and wailing, talking about I want out. Now 2 months later, you asking me why'd I bring you out? And the only thing you can remember in Egypt is that there were graves in Egypt. But you Hebrew forgot that you wasn't occupying those graves. They was throwing y'all in the river. And talk about when we sat down by the flesh pots and ate to the full. When has a slave ever just kicked back at a pot full of meat until he ate and was full? But do you see how Stockholm Syndrome can take over the mind of people to where you will erase all of the beatings and the slapping and the murder and the rape and the plummeting and the hard labor and the making bricks with no straw and the being treated less than dirt. All that disappears, and all you can think is Massa gave us a mess of food and Massa gave us a grave. May I say this, because this message goes out worldwide. Stay away from Egypt and Egyptology. Because the manuscript, holy manuscript, this book right here, has in it the history of the destruction of Egypt as well as Assyria. Wait a minute, it's recorded in your book. If y'all wasn't so holy, I would really tell you what happened, but I'm going to try to say it in a way that this can go out worldwide and stay rated G. Yahuwah whooped them. Is that gonna? Yahweh has whooped their selves. Whooped them. I mean, there's already been a contest, is what I'm trying to say. There's already been a showdown. There's already been a battle. There's already been a one-on-one. There's already, listen, to find out who is the greatest, listen, that's not for you and I to decide in the 21st century. Are you out your mind? You do realize this has already been settled. They had a fight. It was Yah against Ra, the sun god. And Yah told Ra, let me prove something to you. Son, he talked to his own creation. Son, stop shining. And I don't care how much they prayed to Ra, the sun god, it stayed dark in the land of Egypt. Am I in the house yet? They worship in the sun, God, who don't even have control over the sun. Oh, y'all want to worship the Nile River God, huh? Okay, I got something for that too. Now, turn to blood. Now y'all can't even drink. Oh, you want to worship the God of the flies, huh? Flies! Matter of fact, I need every fly in the world. Show up, come here, come here, come here. Go right to Egypt. But don't go to Goshen. Just mess with Egypt. Egypt. But listen, I don't want not one of y'all to step foot in Goshen. And when they be flying and they get close, they say, what? Turn around, can't go over there. We whoop the fly god. I can keep going. You know, look, they worship frogs. We whoop Yahweh. Whoop the frog god. I can keep going. And finally, there was the great, their god of the dead. Is it Osiris or something like that? Horus. And the Pharaoh said, I'm going to kill y'all. And Yahweh said, oh, you got it way twisted. Tonight, you're going to let my people go. And tonight, you're going to know that I have personally made a difference between the Hebrew and the Egyptian. And you're going to see it tonight. Because it's really going down, baby. See, all my boys, all of my family, I got instructions for y'all. This is y'all talking. Yahweh said to Moses, get my family together. Say, yes, family. They all gathered. Say, what is it, Moses? Say, y'all got an instruction for you. Say, what is it? Everybody, every family, take a lamb. I want you to slay that lamb and catch the blood. And then I want you to roast the lamb, and I want you to eat the lamb, but catch the blood. And then I want you to take that blood and put it over the doorpost of your house. Because tonight, I'm coming through Egypt, and I'm killing everything that's not under the blood. Wait a minute. You can call on Horus all you want. I'm coming tonight. You can put all them statues, you can put all the little images, you can put some juju beads, you can put some chicken bones. I don't care what you do if you don't have that blood. I promise you, I'm going into every house from the house of, what's this, of Pharaoh to the jail. I'm not even stopping at the street. I'm going to prison. And everybody firstborn. Matter of fact, I'm not even going to stop there. If the blood ain't on your house, I'm killing the cows too. Firstborn of the oxen, sheep, every firstborn got to die. Because I'm going to prove once and for all, I have the power of life and death in my hand. And y'all know what happened, don't you? Put the blood on the night, the 15th of Nisan, the 15th of Abib. Blood went on the doorpost. It's in the Bible. The death angel showed up, and the Bible said there was cries throughout the land of Egypt. They were weeping and mourning and could not be comforted from Pharaoh's house to the men in the dungeon. Now watch this. There was not one house in Egypt that was not affected, but don't miss this. But in Goshen, not even a dog moved his tongue. He whooped all of Egypt's gods. And now that you're in trouble, you want to run back to Egypt? You all, listen to me, and I'm getting ready to close this sermon, believe it or not. I want you to hear something here. One of the strangest characteristics of us is that oftentimes, as a people group, instead of turning to the Most High Yah that brought us out, we will look to some other god or deity to help us in times of trouble. And Yah does not understand that at all. He like, I don't get it. What in the world do you have to do with any of the gods of Egypt or Assyria? Now, I'm going to see if I can tie this together before I get out your way. Y'all my people. You the sheep of my pasture. You're made in my image. I born you. I brought you. I gave you my laws, commandments, and precepts. And I know that you've been through slavery here in the United States or throughout the islands on the Americas. I know that you've been scattered all over the world, but we're now living in a time of the awakening. We're living in the time of Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39, 37, 38, 39, when the dry bones are hearing the word of Yah and are beginning to come together. You know, it's a process. I talked to El Voice about this a couple of days ago, and he shared this with me. I want to share with you. He said, don't forget that the passage in Ezekiel of the bones coming together is not a one-day event. It's a process. First, there has to be the preaching of the truth. Oh, you dry bones. Second, you have to wait until the bone, because first you're going to hear rattling in the graveyard, but then the bones got to connect with each other. And right now, we are just in the connecting stage. We're just finding what bone belongs to what bone. We're just now coming together to form a skeleton. But once the skeleton is put together, then you're going to see tendons and muscles and skin. Now watch this. And the last phase will be preaching, watch this, to the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh. You will see that Yah will raise up his people as his marching army. Hallelujah. Now, why did I say that? Because in the process of being woke, we've got people showing these newly awakened, or what I call newly conscious Hebrews, Egypt as either an alternative or Egypt as a, what's the word? An additive. This is what they're doing. They see you coming conscious. Say, oh, this person knows that they're Hebrew. Ooh, I can't let them keep going. Because if we keep letting them, eventually, they're going to hook up bone to bone and become flesh. And watch this. Once they become the marching army, they're going to take over the world. So what we're going to do? Let's talk to them about some Egyptology. So as soon as you become conscious and you know that you're just not two continents put together, African American. Y'all do know you ain't two continents and a color, right? Who in the world is named after two continents and a color? Black African American. Are you serious? No, you gotta give me more than that. We're descendants of Shem. And based on the manuscript, we've been following the biblical mandate to the T. We found out that we rejected the Most High and we ended up in slavery. We went by ships. It's in the Bible. The only people on the whole of those slave ships to this very day has been us. Read Deuteronomy chapter 28. And when you get down to verse 68, go on and say, thank you, Pastor, for showing me that, because you wasn't going to read that whole chapter, because I already know you're Hebrew. Y'all don't read that much. Amen. I was sitting at lunch, and I think Javon was with me. We was talking to some people who came and sat down. And they said, well, show me. Reverend, you got to show me if them ships is in the Bible. I said, all right, turn to Deuteronomy 28. I have my Bible. And she said, where you want me to start? I said, start in verse 1. Ain't but one chapter. She said, well, how far you want me to go? I said, go down to verse, read the whole thing. She said, oh, no, forget it. So I already know y'all don't like to read. So I'm going to let you just get to the verse. 68 tells you you're going to be on ships. Now that we're coming alive, Jeremiah has a question. What in the world are you going to Egypt for? Now, by now, y'all know I'm not talking about getting on an airplane and flying to Cairo, right? I'm talking about going back to Egypt by worshiping their gods. Going back to Assyria by following their gods. What have you got to do with Egypt and Assyria? Why would you drink the waters of Shihor, the waters of the river? By worshiping idols and imitating idols is how you got in trouble with Yahweh in the first place. The problem that we're in today, I told you last week, is our fault. As a nation, we were disobedient to him. And now that we are free to be obedient, we are still disobedient to him because we won't turn back to the manuscript. Oh, I got two sermons rolling around in my head. I got to get this one out and put this one back in. Because let me tell you what's rolling around in my head. One of the problems that we're having is we don't understand biblical prophets. See, the prophet's job was not to just tell you the future. But every prophet did the same thing. They turned the people of Yah back to Yah. They turned the people of the covenant back to the covenant. They turned, y'all get it? That was every prophet's job was, you have this preacher, because you had the priests, the Levites, and the kings and all that. And then what would happen, it's just the truth. What would happen is the king would be bad, and as a result, the king being bad would only let priests around him who would also agree to be bad. So they could take advantage of the people. And when Yah couldn't speak to the people through the king, and he couldn't use the people he had called the Levites as the priests to speak to the people, he would then reach outside most of the time of the Levites and, or I should say, of the high priest and the king, and he would raise up a preacher, an outsider. And watch this, most of the time, the outsider was at one time an insider. That's why he knew what to preach. He grew up in church. He knew everything was going on. And he had already decided, you know, it's a lot of stuff going on. Ain't got nothing to do with Yah. And then Yah would call him to go back to the king and to go back to the palace and to tell the people how to get back to Torah. It started with Elijah and then Elisha. And then I could go on and on. I mean, there's several. We're studying one now, Jeremiah and Isaiah. And then you go Ezekiel and all the prophets. Now watch this. Because I'm going to close. When John came, who was the greatest of all prophets, he had one job. Pointed people to Yahushua. Who was he? The word of Yah. Made flesh. What's the word? The Torah. So by pointing people to Yeshua, he was pointing people to the word. Every prophet does the same thing. They point people to the word. Let me tell you what's going on today. Our leaders are telling people, you don't have to know this word. It's no longer valid. There's only two preachers in the world. One telling you to read this information, know it, and apply it. And another one telling you that you don't have to read it, you don't have to know it, and you don't have to apply it. You only get the true prophet and the false prophet. There's no such thing as a middle. So here I stand as the true prophet, preacher. I ain't talking about no soothsaying prophet. Don't come up to me after church talking about, man, let me get them six numbers. Amen. I don't know. I ain't that kind of prophet. Amen. If I was, amen, I would already play them myself. Amen. I don't know the numbers. I'm not that kind of prophet. The biblical prophet is a man who is trying to turn the people, watch this, not to the man, That's stupid. But to turn the people back to Yah. Why? Because the people obviously are following someone else. In our case today in the text, they've decided as a nation, since Babylon is coming from the north, which represents judgment, okay? And since judgment is coming again, I'm telling you, to us, they said, let's hook up with Egypt. This is the Hebrews. They said, instead of, and the prophet said, wait. That's not what you need to be doing. And they said, why? I said, it's Yahweh that's calling the nation from the north. So if you don't want them to ransack you, repent and turn to Yah, and you won't have to go into captivity. And they said, wait, say that again. He said, all right, I'm going to tell you one more time. You all are caught up in Egyptology and Assyrian mysticism. They said, no, we're not. Said, yes, you are. Don't you have a Christmas party? They said, every year. You do know that there's nowhere in the Bible. December 25th is the birthday of Tammuz. So every time you get together on December 25th, you are celebrating the birth of Tammuz, not the birth of Yeshua. Yeshua was born during Sukkot. Well, we've been doing it. Yeah, stop. No. I'm gonna worship Tammuz, but in my mind, I'm gonna be thinking about Jesus. So you have to get a person like me that will tell you that judgment is coming from the Most High. You don't run deeper into sin when judgment is coming. You repent. Can I give you another one? Say, yeah. Okay, well, I don't believe it. I don't do it. Okay, how about Easter? That queen whore did not even change the name of her holiday. She was Astarte from the beginning. Astaroth, Astarte, Easter, it's all the same name. And we say, come to our Easter program in church. How did we let her name even get into the temple of Yah? Well, we ain't celebrating her. We celebrating the resurrection. Quit lying. Easter does not equal the resurrection. The resurrection, according to the manuscript, is the first fruit feast. Yeshua doesn't die on Good Friday. He dies on Passover. And he's in the grave during the first Shabbat, which the word means rest day. And he stays in the grave until the high Shabbat, which is what we would call that next Sabbath day. And he's up for the first fruit offering to give and wave before the Most High. That's why when Mary saw him at the garden, she mistook him for a gardener because he had the wave offering in his hand. She was hugging him. She said, Rabboni, oh my goodness, Rabbi, so good to see you. He said, girl, it's good to see you too. But today, you can't be holding on me like this because I've got to ascend to my Father. I got to wave the offering as the first fruit. And then y'all heard Rabbi Shaul said that Hamashiach died according to the scripture. The scriptures is always the first five books of the Bible. Yeshua dies according to the Torah, which means he dies according to the Torah on Passover. He was buried and rose again according to the Torah on the third day, according to the, talk back to me. Oh, but you know what they'll tell you when I preach this? And this is why I preach it, because there's going to be 144,000 young men that Yah is about to call to go worldwide preaching the message of the kingdom. And I know, being a preacher myself, that these 144,000 preachers individually are going to need some encouragement. They're going to need some help, because some of them are going to come from New York. Some of them coming from Texas and Alabama. Are y'all with me now? And all their cousins is caught up in church. All their family is caught up in a lot of idolatry and false doctrine. So watch this. If they don't get some encouragement, it's going to be difficult for them to stay true to the message in the last day. So hopefully, Zion, I can help them out a little bit by saying, listen, I know who you are, and I'm telling you, hold on to Yah's unchanging hand. Your call has been prophesied in the manuscript. You've got to stay true, and do not ever inquire with Egypt and Assyria. I got a list of false gods. I'll read them next week. And I'll show you that the worst thing you can do during times of trouble is to try to run to the government that enslaved you. Worst thing. Or run to a religion that enslaved you. In times of trouble, we run to Yahweh. Period. It's becoming more and more evident, Zion, that Yah is allowing this government to literally show itself to us as our enemy. Isn't that strange? He's letting us see it. He's letting us witness. See, before we didn't have internet and we didn't have cell phones with cameras and stuff. So a lot of things that was happening in the government, you know, it was just swept under the rug. But now we're starting to be able to compare. A brother does one crime, a European does the same crime, the brother do 20 to life. Oh, y'all.
Yes, sir.
The European does a weekend and some parole. You do know I have a chart. I'll give it to you. Where there's 12 men who have all committed murder, some multiple murders. They were all properly apprehended by the police and are now still alive in custody. Then there's 12 Black Hebrew Israelites that have committed no murder and they were shot. Not one of them was apprehended. They were all killed by the powers that be in the streets. Not one of them had killed not one person. What are you talking about? You're talking about being precious? I ain't talking about that. Y'all do know I done said this a million times. The family of Yah is a speckled bird. It ain't got nothing to do with color. If you stand up for Yahweh and you're part of this family, get ready to see this government as it really is. Your hope can only be Yahuwah. How do we turn back to him just like we're doing today? We open this Bible, we read these words, and we find anything in our lives that's not like him, and we change it. Judgment is coming. And guess who's going to be the judge? Yahushua. Wait, you mean the same one that died on the cross for our sin? Yeah. And for those of you who think you got through this whole sermon without me mentioning the food, I'm going to mention it anyway. Y'all talking about food don't matter? I keep being like, Pastor Davis is over there teaching people that they shouldn't eat pigs and mice. Oh, that's Pastor Davis? That's me, right? Y'all saying, I'm teaching folk not to eat pigs and mice. All right, turn to Isaiah quickly, last verse in the manuscript. I mean, last thing in my sermon today. We just went over this verse in Bible study. Let me see here. Chapter 66. Somebody have that? You see it in your Bible? Let me see here. Where's the verse? There it is. Watch it. Y'all know I need glasses, right? Watch this. I'm going to start at verse 15. For behold, the Lord, you see that word, the Lord? Yahuwah. Will come with what? And with his what? Like a what? To render his anger with what? And his rebuke with what? Flames of fire. I'm telling y'all, judgment is coming. Every Christian church will tell you this is a messianic passage. And not one church worth its salt will tell you this is not messianic, because it talks about the return of our King, the King of Kings and Master of Masters, Yahushua. Verse 16, please. For by and by his will Yahweh do what? And the slain of Yahuwah shall be how many? Oh yeah. It's going to be a lot killed in the judgment when he returns. Verse 17. They that word means set apart themselves and do what? Themselves where? Behind what? Now this is the same thing Jeremiah was saying. You're going to always have them groups of folk who are going to say, you know what, we're going to go over here and we're going to have our own little religion. You know what, I hear what y'all are saying, but let's just mix a little bit of Egyptian and a little bit of Assyrian in here. And no, let's see what's going to happen. In the midst, watch this, in the garden behind one tree, in the midst, what are they doing?
Eating swine's flesh.
What are they doing?
Eating swine's flesh.
Y'all know swine is a pig, right? So what they've done is they've got away from Yah, when set up their own religion where they could eat swine's flesh. And what else? Wait. They're going to eat swine's flesh and the abomination, because the swine is an abomination. And the
mouse.
Didn't I tell you that the swine and the mouse are the same to the Most High Yah? Shall those that do that shall be talk. Who said it? Pastor Davis? Who? That's Isaiah. You just read the prophet Isaiah, the same one that said he was wounded for our transgression and bruised for our iniquity, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. And we're like, woo, hallelujah! Y'all love him then. But when he says, I'm coming back and I'm going to execute judgment, even to those who say it's all right for me to sit down under a tree and eat swine and mice, I'm coming back and it's going to be all bad. You don't change his word even down to the diet Zion. And don't leave here talking about I didn't know. Because it's been in your Bible ever since you got your first Bible. Ain't nobody wrote nothing else in your Bible. Shalom, shalom.